Let's pray. Resurrected Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, the one who redeems our thoughts and our words. Amen. The book of Acts speaks of revolution. It's a part of Scripture that describes what happens when the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead suddenly appeared in a room and rested on a small group of Jewish people whose heads were still spinning from the events of the past few days, past few weeks, and past few years. It's a part of Scripture that describes what happens when the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead suddenly compelled a man named Philip to chase down a chariot and join the Ethiopian eunuch who was inside. It's a part of Scripture that describes what happens when the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead joined two disparate people groups together. All of this is the revolution that Acts talks about. As a Mennonite congregation in the American West, we have a word for this ongoing revolution that the Holy Spirit incites. That word is mission. Mission. Mission is what happens when people are joined together by the love of God. Mission is what people share in when they are drawn towards each other by the Holy Spirit, when they engage in that vulnerable and very hope-filled work called learning to follow Jesus together. The book of Acts speaks of God's mission in the world. It tells stories that shows followers of Jesus what we are moving toward when we respond to that daily invitation to follow Jesus. During worship last week, we reflected on a profound moment of foreshadowing in this book of Revolution. And this moment of foreshadowing shows us how and where the way of Jesus is headed. And as we reflected on Acts chapter 8 together, we watched the love of God move from the center toward the margins, move from the center towards the outer limits of identity and place, not for the sake of conquering others, but for the sake of reminding all people that they are not alone, that God's love has drawn near. And in that moment of Scripture, we see a glimpse of where the love of God is headed. We see a glimpse of where we are headed as followers of Jesus. We're headed out on an expansive trajectory that travels by way of mutual joining. And in our passage of Scripture today, the revolution of God's mission has made its way all the way back from the margins to the center. Here in Acts chapter 15, the followers of Jesus who lived at the center, who held power and authority in their faith communities, were trying to figure out how to respond to God's reckless spirit. Our passage opens in the Syrian city of Antioch. Paul and Barnabas had just returned from a mission trip, and they were celebrating all that God had done. They were telling everyone who would listen about the way God's love had enfolded the Gentiles as well. And in chapter 15, verse 1, we learn that certain individuals traveled from Judea to Antioch in order to tell the Gentiles there that if they wanted salvation, they needed to be circumcised. It's curious timing. Perhaps they traveled to Antioch because they had heard about Barnabas and Paul's recent trip and they wanted to confront them, or they wanted to clean up some of the theological messes that Paul and Barnabas were making. Maybe they fancied themselves missionaries of a different kind. I don't know. It doesn't say. It actually doesn't even call them followers of Jesus, so we're not quite sure who they are. What the writer of Luke Acts does tell us, though, is that Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with these certain individuals. No small dissension and debate. It's another way of saying they argued for a really long time. It was the kind of argument where the more that they talked to each other, the more certain they felt that they were right. And this was the type of argument where no one was giving any space at all. There was no compromise to be had. And understandably so. I mean, it was unthinkable that Gentiles could join the covenant people of God without being circumcised. I mean, the practice was clearly in the Torah. And not only that, but it had been a defining feature of the Hebrew people's relationship with God for thousands of years. Yet Paul and Barnabas in the church at Antioch had witnessed something strange. They saw the transgressive movement of God's Holy Spirit firsthand. They saw the unthinkable happen. They saw God's Spirit welcome the Gentiles into the family of God without requiring them to be circumcised. They were committed to remaining faithful to that good news that they saw. So these two groups argued. And they argued and they argued until finally they agreed on something. And that was to go to someone else who could help them make the decision. The church, in verses 2 and 3, it actually says the church sent Paul and Barnabas to the elders and to the apostles in Jerusalem. And when we read the word, they sent them to go and to ask this question to the elders and the apostles. And when we read the words, this question, in verse 2, it's important for you and for me to remember that the question they are trying to figure out is you and me. Our presence in the people of God is the problem that they're trying to solve. As Gentiles, as people who are not physically born into the family of Abraham and Sarah, we are the question being discussed. Are we welcome into the family of God as Gentiles? Or do we need to change who we are in order to have a place at the table? How expansive is God's love? This is the question that the early church leaders were trying to figure out for themselves. And when the delegation retraced the Spirit's steps, when they moved from the edges, from this Syrian city, through Samaria, back to Jerusalem, they were welcomed with open arms and invited to share their testimony. And as Paul and Barnabas shared about all of the incredible things they had seen God do among the Gentiles, a few other followers of Jesus stood up and said, "That's wonderful, but what about circumcision? Doesn't the law say that they need to be circumcised in order to stay in step with Moses?" In the very next verse, verse 7, when I read it, it makes me laugh a little bit. Not because it's funny, it's not supposed to be funny, but I think it sounds like the minutes from a contentious board meeting. Or like what someone says when they try to describe what it was like for their entire extended family to figure out where they're going to spend Christmas the next year. I mean, if you ask them officially, they might tell you that a few people met to consider the matter. But you know that consider the matter is just a diplomatic way of saying they had a huge argument. I can just imagine the scene in our scripture passage just spiraling out of control. Emotions running hot, people talking over and around and through each other, until eventually the apostles and the elders got everyone's attention, told them to take a few deep breaths, and just to go for a walk and come back in 20 minutes so that they could just have some time to think. Okay, that's not what happened, but that's my imagination. And I think that relays the sense of crisis that was happening. And this is a moment of crisis. When they met together to consider this matter, they were not talking about a business theory or about where to have Christmas next year. They were talking about people. They were talking about shifting a central tenet of their faith and the faith of their ancestors. They were talking about the good news of Jesus that had changed so much, so quickly. And after much debate between the apostles and the elders themselves, Peter stood up and he spoke. He looked at Barnabas. He looked at Paul. He looked at the followers of Jesus who were concerned about circumcision and the entire church who was present. And he spoke words of wisdom and clarity that cut through the chatter and caused everyone there that day to be silent. Not because they were words of intimidation. He didn't yell at them. And not because they were words of creative compromise. This wasn't a third way that Peter spoke of. They were silent because Peter's words bore witness to the truth. He reminded them that of his encounter with a Gentile centurion named Cornelius, one that he had already told them about a few chapters before. He reminded them what God revealed during that encounter. God, who knows the human heart, Peter says in verse 8, God testified to the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, God has made no distinction between them and us. With these words, Peter responded to the question that Paul and Barnabas were asking. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, God has made no distinction between us and them. This is how my ears hear Peter's words. It's as though he's saying, I don't know how expansive God's love is, but I know that it has expanded to them. I know that the Spirit who welcomed us into the life of God on Pentecost has also welcomed them. I was there. I saw it. I know that the Spirit who transformed our lives is transforming their lives too. So they're already in, circumcision or not. See, now it's difficult to overstate the significance of this moment in Scripture. Not because anything had changed in God, and not because anything had changed in the lives of the people who were being debated. I mean, I don't think the Ethiopian eunuch cared about this conversation about circumcision. And I don't think Cornelius and his household were too concerned about it either, because God was present in their lives, and they were celebrating that. No, what changed was the way these followers of Jesus at the center marked the boundaries between those who were inside and those who were outside. For Christians, the boundary between those who are inside and those who are outside is not circumcision. For Christians, the boundary between the insider and the outsider is the life of God. The boundary is Jesus. The one who proclaimed God's shalom, the one who was killed by the principalities and the powers of his day, and the one who was resurrected by the Holy Spirit. For Christians, the boundary between inside and outside is marked by the Spirit. The boundary is the one who sent Philip to join the Ethiopian eunuch, who prompted Cornelius to send his people to go find Peter. The one who commissions each and every follower of Jesus to go out into creation and to be an accomplice in God's shalom. The boundary between those who are inside and those who are on outside is the very life and presence of God. Wherever God is, or has been, or will be, there, those people are inside of God's grace and God's love, circumcision or not. See, the revolution that we see in the book of Acts over and over again is that God's presence extends from Jerusalem through Samaria and Judea to the ends of the earth, and then back again. The revolution that we see over and over again in the book of Acts is that the presence of God stretches from the center all the way out to the very edges of place and identity. Or to quote Paul, there is nowhere we can go that God is not. After considering this matter with much debate, this is how Peter answered the question about how to identify the borders and the edges of God's expansive love. According to Peter, God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as God did to us. And in cleansing their heart by faith, God has made no distinction between us and to them. As Mennonite Christians living in the American West, we might answer this matter or this question this way. We might say, when we follow the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, When we do this, we will be joined to others by the love of God, because the love of Jesus is already at work in their lives and ours. We will find ourselves in the middle of that ongoing revolution of shalom called God's mission. Let's pray.